Yeah, we've been praying for this church since you started, and we're really excited to see everyone here. As Julie said, I'm Bob Grauman, and I work with a ministry called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is a ministry to university students in America and around the world. So that will help you understand some of my illustrations. So this morning, our passage is in front of you. It's on the table, Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. But let me frame this passage with some introduction. Did you ever have the experience of things going well? Things are going really well, things are going fine, everything is rainbows and sunshines, and then all of a sudden, it changes.
Oh, yeah.
And something bad happens, and all of a sudden, all the rainbows go away, and there's thunderstorms and dark clouds. Well, that's what happened. Next, in the country, I'm using my right hand, sorry. I told him my left hand, but it's right hand. My wife and I lived in the country of Ukraine for 9 years. And as you know, Ukraine is in the news. And we have a ministry to students in Ukraine. And it was going great. Lots of students coming to meetings, large groups, small groups, discipleship, and students coming to Christ, and lots of enthusiasm, excitement. And then on February 24th of this year, the Russians invaded. And if you look at the map, there's Russia on the east, and they came across the border and tried to conquer some of those towns. You see a town, I don't know if you can read it, called Kharkiv, there in the east, and where we had a lot of students in the ministry. A lot of our staff lived there, and they had to flee. They had to run away to the western part of the country or across the border to Poland. And that wasn't only in February, it still goes on. Just 2 days ago, I was talking to one of the young Ukrainian staff that we work with, and now they're in the western part of the country, but the Russians are bombing that too. And so he was a little late for the on Zoom. I had a Zoom meeting with him, and he was a couple of minutes late. Well, he's always late, so I figured there was no big deal. He said, no, today I'm late because there was a rocket that hit a couple of miles away. Blew up some stuff. And so that's the daily reality for them. It's very, very difficult. And it's happened so fast. I mean, everything was great. And all of a sudden, they're invaded by a superpower next door that's killing people and torturing people and destroying cities and blowing up things and blowing up the infrastructure and the electric centers so there's no heat, there's no electricity as they look forward to the winter. And it changed like that, all of a sudden. Well, that was the experience also in our passage for today in Acts chapter 8. Now, Jeff and other teachers have been taking you through the book of Acts. And they got through chapter 7. And as I, you know, quickly overview the first 7 chapters, for the most part, things went well. There was a day of Pentecost. 3,000 people came to Christ. Later, 5,000 people came to Christ. There was large groups, and there were small groups that were really effective as the people gave to each other, cared about each other, prayed together, fellowshiped together. It was growing. The church was growing. Even when there was persecution, they were bold. They could say right to the religious leaders, There's no other name but Jesus that you have to believe in him to be saved. And yeah, things were great. And they even had a problem of kind of ethnicity or culture between the Hebrew-speaking Jewish believers and the Greek-speaking Jewish believers. And they solved it, which is hard to do. Solve a cultural problem like that. They solved it. And so it was great. And then this guy, young man, Stephen, gave this awesome talk, which Jeff talked about last week, where he went through the whole, you know, kind of Old Testament to show that Jesus is Lord. It was awesome. And then, after his talk, Stephen was killed. He was stoned to death. All right? And so, let me read Acts chapter 8, the first three verses. All right? On that day, that's the day that Stephen was killed, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged both men and women to prison. Now put yourself in that situation. By the way, go ahead. Next, oh, right there. You did it. Perfect. What a guy. That's my grandson. Anyway, things are going so great. All of a sudden, Stephen is killed, the good young preacher. And then it says a great persecution came against the church. So again, put yourself in this passage. Picture yourself here. Everything's wonderful. You're thinking, man, this new religion, this Christ religion, this Christianity, it's awesome. It's growing. Everything's going fine. And all of a sudden, the Roman soldiers are at your door, or the religious leaders are at your door with their army, and they're dragging you off to prison, and you have to run away. One of our guys, in that map of Ukraine, who lived in the eastern part of Ukraine, had to go to the western part. He was a refugee, and he told me that he lived in 4 apartments in 5 weeks. He kept moving from one to the other to the other. And again, picture yourself being in Jerusalem. You have a little house or whatever. All of a sudden, you have to pack up in the middle of the night and run away. Or else, you know, the soldiers are going to come to your door. Or Paul is going to come to your door and arrest you. And they had to leave their friends, their family. One of my friends in Ukraine, you know, the Ukrainian culture is very family oriented. And one young woman with her husband and kids had to leave in the middle of the night. And I saw her or talked to her a couple of weeks ago. She was crying. She said, I couldn't say goodbye to my mother. I had to just leave in the middle of the night. And that's what these people experienced. All of a sudden, you know, like I say, the Roman soldiers are at the door. And then even their rabbi, Saul, one of the great rabbis, was arresting people. And they were mourning for Stephen, who was killed. All of a sudden, boom, it went from awesome to terrible. But the key is in verse 4, the next verse. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Okay? In spite of being depressed, persecuted, upset, have to leave their homes, leave their families, leave their loved ones, leave everything they knew, they still preached the gospel wherever they went. And the gospel spread. And then the author of Acts follows one particular guy, Philip. And Philip goes across the border, just like the Ukrainians went across to Poland or Belarus. He went across the border to a different country called Samaria, and there he preached the gospel and actually started a revival. hundreds of people coming to Christ. And, you know, of this different culture. And then there was this crazy guy who tried to give money to Philip to get the Holy Spirit, tried to pay for the Holy Spirit. And Philip's like, really? Come on. And, you know, that didn't work. And then they actually sent Peter and John up from Jerusalem to make sure this was legit, a real revival. And they said, yes, it was. So Philip is leading this awesome, you know, it'd be like coming here next week and there's 1,000 people here coming to Christ. It was awesome, which leads to our passage, verse 26. And so you have it in front of you. So follow along as I read it. Now, this was in the middle of the revival. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, or Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to this chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. Quote, he was led to like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? So he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, what I want us to do is first look at the eunuch, okay? And, oh, I have a little time. I'm surprised. I have a little time. So someone tell me some fact about the eunuch that you see in this passage. Yes. Beautiful. He was curious. He asked questions. He was reading the Bible, right? And then he asked questions. That shows he was curious. Awesome. What else? Somebody else? Yes, in the back.
He was important enough that he was sitting in a chariot.
Right.
So he's higher up.
Not everybody had a chariot. What else? How else do you see how important he was? Yeah.
In charge of all the treasury.
Yes, of the queen of a country of Ethiopia. That's pretty good, right? And secretary of the treasury. And a chariot. And you had something, you had raised your hand right there.
It's okay, it was a combination.
Okay, good. Well, yeah.
Well, the other thing is that he was gone. He went to Jerusalem to worship. So that means he was already thinking about God.
You bet. All right. One more. Anybody, you don't have to be a great scholar, you know, just or a Bible scholar, just to be able to see something in this text.
It's a long way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem.
Yes, go to the, and here is how long it is. Keep going. There. This is from Google Maps. Okay. I took the route from Addis Ababa, which is the capital of present-day Ethiopia, to Jerusalem, 2,400 miles. That's about from New York to California. From New York to California is 2,700. This is 2,400 miles of desert, okay?
In a chariot.
In a chariot. If it was, you even see the little thing there. If you had a car, it would have taken 83 hours.
And that's just driving straight through.
It's driving straight through. No stops for bathroom or a little hot dog or something, ice cream. And it was desert. Well, he didn't have, if you walked, it'd take 30 days. And I don't know how fast a chariot goes, but it took a long time through a hot desert. Okay, now go back to the other. All right, so here's some stuff, and you saw most of this. This is awesome. You guys are great. Here's what I saw about the Ethiopian. First, he was Ethiopian from Africa, verse 27. He was not Jewish, and he had a different race, culture, nationality from Philip. Okay. Second, he was an official, as you pointed out, of the queen. Thirdly, he was an important official of the treasury, right? Next, he went to Jerusalem, 2,400 miles. And, non-Jewish people couldn't even get into the temple. So he went up 2,400 miles, many, many days, through the desert to go to a place where they wouldn't let him in. Okay? But he could stand outside and worship. I think of, in 1991, was it? 94, when the Badgers first got into the Rose Bowl. And the travel agents here, everybody in Wisconsin wanted to go to the Rose Bowl in California. And they oversold the tickets. And so three or 4,000 people from Wisconsin, they had tickets, but they couldn't get in. They were not valid tickets. So they put up tents outside of the Rose Bowl so they could watch it on television. And they're like, could have done that in Wisconsin, right? But so he went all the way to stand outside the main part of the temple in the outer court just so he could be there with the worshipers, okay? Next. He was reading the Bible. In verse 28, he was reading Isaiah. Next one. Next. And then, as someone pointed out, he asked questions. He asked Philip to explain the text. He asked a question about the text. And then, after he, heard the, Philip went through the whole Bible with him, to talk about Jesus, he asked to be baptized. Now, it's very interesting in your text, the specific question he asked, who can prevent me from being baptized? Because maybe he knew Deuteronomy 23:1 in the Old Testament. No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. Now, he was a eunuch. He had been cut, right? And so he was maybe hesitant. He said to Philip, I know that, I'm not really worthy. And Philip's like, no way. If you believe in Jesus, it's okay. No matter what you are, who you are, how you are, if you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. So let's get baptized. All right? And is there another one? Oh, yeah, he went on his way rejoicing. This, I think, is funny because Philip disappeared. And the eunuch is like, in my opinion, the eunuch is like, wow, this is some crazy religion, right? But he went on his way rejoicing that he had come to Christ, that he had been baptized, that he was a believer in Jesus, that he had eternal life. So put this all together. What does this say about this eunuch, about who he is? Yeah.
He was finally accepted.
He was accepted, right? But before that, though, you all pointed it out, he was a seeker. He really wanted to know God. He went, 83 hours if he had a car, days and days and days, a couple of weeks in his chariot, just to find out more about God. Somehow he got hold of a Bible, that was rare, and he was reading it, trying to understand it. He asked good questions. He was a seeker. I don't know if you've ever encountered somebody like this. It's a great joy. I remember I was a student worker in New Jersey at a university, and as a small university or a small college, and I remember there was two guys who were the party boys on campus. I mean, everybody knew, they could open a bottle of beer with their teeth, and all this. They had this reputation. If there's a party, they were there with the beer. And then one time I was giving a talk at that college, and there they were in the front row. I was like, what are you guys doing here? And they said, well, actually, we met some of the students in the Christian Fellowship, and we liked them, and they invited us to come. And I went back a couple of weeks later, and they had come to Christ. And they told me, we were always seeking. We were seeking for some meaning in our lives. That's why we were doing all the alcohol and all that other stuff, because we were seeking. And one of them also said, I know that my grandmother was praying for me all my life. And so this is just her answer to her prayers that I've come to Christ. So they didn't look like it when I first met them, but they were seekers. We had one in Ukraine when Oma, Patricia, Mom, whatever, my wife, when we were there, there was a young woman in Kharkiv, in this city where the Russians had invaded, and she was an atheist, but she came to meetings. Hi, I'm an atheist. When's the next Bible study? Hi, I'm still an atheist. When is our retreat? And so they could see that, yes, she was an atheist, but she was seeking God. And it's wonderful when you meet someone like this. So now let's look at Philip more quickly. Philip is amazing because if you read, the two verses. Nope, keep going, Philip. The next one. Yeah, those. He was really obedient. Can you imagine? He was leading a revival, and God says, leave the revival, this great ministry you're having, these hundreds of people coming to Christ, leave and go to the desert. Go to, because it repeats, a road, a desert road, right? And the cause and effect, the effect is always, he ran, he went. The Spirit said go, he went. The Spirit said go, he ran in the desert up to the chariot. Next. He was in good shape because he ran. Next. He was not afraid to initiate a conversation about God. That's important. He initiated. Although I can imagine, again, I picture myself in this situation. Philip comes running up. Hey, Mr. Eunuch, you understand what you're reading? Because he ran, right? To catch up to a chariot. Pretty good. But he wasn't afraid to initiate the conversation. He asked good questions. Do you understand what you're reading? And he knew his Bible basics, right? Because the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, which is actually pretty good. And Philip started there, and it says he went all through the Bible to share about Jesus. And which is pretty easy, since the guy was reading Isaiah 53, right? Because then he just had to point out Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he took our sins, bore our sufferings. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And so Philip could say, listen, you asked who this is about? Let me tell you about this guy, Jesus, who was both God and man, and came to the earth, and he taught great things. And he taught about peace and love. But then he was put on the cross and died a horrible death for you. And if you understand that you're a sinner, that you have not done everything right, and you put your faith in him, you have eternal life because he sacrificed for you. He died on that cross in your place. That's all in Isaiah 53. And Philip could have gone other places also. And maybe also he turned a few chapters later to Isaiah 56, verse 3. Let no foreigner be bound to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. To the eunuchs who keep my covenant, I will give my temple and its walls. So maybe Philip explained to the eunuch, listen, doesn't matter who you are. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. And Philip was able to do that. So then right away the eunuch said, okay. And he was not afraid to break cultural conventions. This guy was not Jewish. He was not like Philip. He was from Africa. He had a different language, a different culture, a different nation, a different position. He was pretty rich with the chariot. Philip was not. And yet, Philip went up to him and started this conversation. Doesn't matter what race or culture, the gospel is for everybody. And then, next. Yeah, and the last verse says Philip could cross cultures. And could cross, did whatever the Spirit said. So all of a sudden, Philip disappeared. He was preaching somewhere else. And I just loved that the eunuch didn't even notice. He was so happy that Philip had just disappeared. So let's put this together. Tell me about Philip. Summarize Philip for me, somebody. He was obedient. He was not afraid to take initiative. Okay? So, friends, this is the story of a perfect storm, a good storm, a seeker, someone who's asking questions about God, meets a believer who's not afraid to take initiative, and who can explain the gospel. That's the critical mass. That's the critical conversation between a seeker and a believer who can share the gospel. That's how the gospel goes forth. Not so much by preaching, although it does, and it did in Acts, but these one-to-one conversations between a believer and someone who is seeking. I saw that with my the two guys at the university, and I see it a lot with students on campus who are not afraid to share the gospel. So, and the point, the bigger point is the church, the believers, again, went from despair to joy. Even though there was persecution, and the persecution stays throughout Acts, you'll see it throughout the book of Acts as you go through it. The persecution was still there. But they were not afraid to share the gospel wherever they went. They shared the gospel. And remember that atheist? Go to the next one. The young woman taking the picture, the selfie, she's the atheist. And she not only came to Jesus and had to flee because of the invasion, but that's her with her small group Bible study that she is leading. Even though she had to leave her home, her family, her loved ones, become a refugee in the western part of Ukraine, there was a university where she went. She got together a small group and shared the gospel with them. So friends, you have an opportunity today. We have an opportunity today. You'll be meeting lots of people who bring their kids, you know, who read the thing on social media. You have a chance to do this. You have a chance to pray that the Holy Spirit would lead you to one person today who might ask you, who are you? Why do you have this stuff in the parking lot for kids? Why are you doing this, and who are you? And you have a great chance to explain. We're the hometown community church. We're committed to our hometown, right? And we're committed to Jesus. So we're doing this because we love kids and because we want to share the good news about Jesus. You have an opportunity to do that. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity you'll give us today to meet lots of people. And just like Philip, Lord, we pray that you lead us to at least one who might ask some good questions and we can share a little about you. So be with us today. Thank you for this story of a seeker meeting a believer who can share. We pray that we would be like that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.